We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay, recapping the Nets win over the Sixers, 112-107. Also, jump into last night's loss against Memphis and the latest on Ben Simmons. But as always, check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. And getting into this game, obviously the Nets needed to win after the loss to Memphis last night. Arguably, you know, in my opinion, the worst loss of the season, given, you know, time of year, context of the situation, talent on the opposing team, all those different factors. And they needed to win tonight. They did get a blessing in the sense of Tyrese Maxey missing this game, along with Joel Embiid, who obviously has been out for the Sixers. The Nets, on the other hand, you know, without Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, De'Ron Sharp, Cam Johnson ended up leaving this game as well, but still, you know, plenty and at home to win this one, and they did that. And it wasn't a great win. It wasn't a pretty win. It wasn't a dominant win. It's not even a win I don't think you can build much off of. But at this point in time, you know, if the Nets want to give themselves a chance to make the play-in, they have to win every game like this the rest of the way out. You know, that Memphis one, again, very, very bad loss, but at least they found a way to get it done tonight. You know, not that there's any hope that they're going to do something in the playoffs, but if your goal to finish the season is to make the play-in, you want to achieve that goal. I think it does build a level of confidence, momentum, and at least gives you something positive going to next season. Even if they do lose, it's like, you know, we finished the season strong to an extent. You know, not that that necessarily is going to mean anything, and we'll kind of touch on some of that stuff a little bit later. But getting back to this game, you know, first quarter wasn't amazing, especially the end of that first. I thought the Nets did a pretty bad job and, you know, allowed Philly to take a lead. Second quarter trended in the wrong direction. You know, there was a scoreless stretch for the Nets. Ultimately, back end of the second half, they turn things up. Third quarter, pretty mediocre. And fourth quarter, doesn't start amazing, but ends well. You know, I think the Nets just took advantage of Philly not having great ball handlers and creators. As I mentioned, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, both out in this game. You know, they're relying on Kyle Lowry and campaign at this point of their careers to create a lot of the offense. You know, Tobias Harris didn't necessarily have a great game. It wasn't a bad game either, just kind of in between. Buddy Hield was kind of cold in this one. And the Nets, on the other hand, they didn't get a ton of great performances from a million guys, but they did get good stuff from Dorian Finney-Smith, Nick Claxton, Dennis Schroeder, Lonnie Walker, and Dennis Smith Jr. as well. You know, I think those guys stepped up and found a way to have a positive impact. As I mentioned early in this game, you know, Cam Johnson goes down the first quarter. Believe he tried to come back in, ultimately did not, you know, stay in the game and was out the remainder of the game. Finished with 6 points, 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 2 from three, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, and 1 rebound. And obviously not much playing time in 8 minutes. And the negative thing too is for Cam Johnson, it felt like this last stretch of games he started to find a level of momentum and confidence. Now, you know, hopefully he's not injured for a long time, but let's say he misses a few games, all that momentum, all that confidence is now lost, and you're kind of back to square one and trying to get him back in the flow of things. So pretty negative, and ultimately it's been a disappointing year for Cam Johnson, and some of that's injury related. You know, him not being able to stay healthy, you know, that was kind of a weird play with Kyle Lowry, and you know, you could put some of that on Lowry, but also ultimately, you know, Cam Johnson has just had some bad luck this season. As I mentioned, one of the guys who did step up in this game though, Dorian Finney-Smith, probably one of his best games of the season, especially in terms of offensive production. 20 points, 8 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 8 rebounds, 3 offensive, 2 assists, 1 turnover, and just had a lot of positive plays, especially down the stretch of this game. You know, I think he hit the 3 that gave the Nets a 6-point lead, you know, from 103-100 to 106-100. That felt like a big shot, maybe one of the biggest shots of the game. So credit DFS for stepping up and finding a way to have an impact offensively. And it's been a really hot and cold season for him, especially on the offensive end. Nice to see him, you know, find a way to have an impact and take advantage of a shorthanded Sixers team that doesn't necessarily have a ton of talent in the front court, especially defensively. Nick Claxton, 17 points, 6 of 8 from the field, 5 of 6 on the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks, 2 turnovers. I think for Clax, it's like you have to dominate these matchups. You know, he should have dominated last night's match, but found a way to be more impactful, and that's what he has to do consistently. You know, this has to be a regular game for him, especially when he's going against below average talent. You know, it's Paul Reed, Mo Bamba, and a lot of small ball on the other side. You know, find a way to have a positive impact and disrupt the game defensively and really uplift your offense. And I think offensively in this game, you know, Dennis Schroeder obviously helps him with the pick and roll stuff, but when he finds a way to do something positive on the offensive end, it just feels like, all right, defensively, it'll come along. Like, your expectation for Clax is the defense will probably be there most of the time, and you just need to get some positive offensively. And again, the next 20 plus games for Claxton are going to be pretty big in terms of his future with the Nets, his next contract, and all those different things. Over to Mikal Bridges, continuing to struggle, was grabbing at that wrist, probably is injured. His shot just does not look quite as smooth. Finished with 15 points, 4 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, was plus 10, had 1 turnover. Mikal was not good offensively, didn't look to really dictate much on that end of the floor. Defensively was okay, so just not the type of game that you're expecting from Mikal Bridges. And I think also what's disappointing with this game and the last game is, you know, this is a bad team, you know, a team that's missing some of their top talent. You want to see your best player go out there and have a performance and set the tone, and he's just not doing that. Again, he's probably injured and he's playing through it, and, you know, credit to him for that. But at the end of the day, when you're on the court, you know, there's a level of expectation, and I think he still can be better even without the wrist. You know, wrist isn't feeling great. Defensively, find a way to be more locked down and have more impact plays. And I think that's what's been a level of frustration for Mikal, because we've seen his usage offensively this season really go up and down in terms of how much he's active and creating in the offense and how many times, you know, he's playing a little bit more off ball. And when he's playing more of this off ball stuff and creating less, I think there should be more of a standard for him defensively that we're just not seeing. Over to Dennis Schroeder, another good game for Schroeder. You know, he's been obviously great for the Nets in terms of the expectation, the value from a trade from a player like Spencer Dinwiddie at the deadline. Schroeder finished with 20 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 8 assists, did have 5 turnovers and 1 block. Was an amazing game, but he hit some big shots. He picked it up in the second half, especially in the scoring department. Got downhill, got to the rim. He also had a big layup down the stretch. So Schroeder's definitely helped his team win more games. And, you know, as it's been talked about on this podcast before, you know, the Nets have Dennis Schroeder the entire season. Probably have, you know, 3 to 6 more wins just because of the mentality he plays with. And also, I think his activity and tenacity defensively and just overall, you know, you see him in this game, you know, arguing with Kyle Lowry, getting the face with other guys, just really brings a different element and energy that the Nets don't necessarily have. Jalen Wilson saw about 24 minutes in this game, finished with 4 points, 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, did have 6 rebounds, 4 offensive and 2 assists. You know, Jalen Wilson is doing some of those role player things really well out there. I think one thing that sticks out is he still needs to learn how to score in the NBA, especially on drives. He catches himself in between a lot and really almost is, you know, trying to hit the perfect shot, perfect layup sometimes, where it's just like play your game and just kind of let it come to you. You did see him make a couple good passes where, you know, in the past he's maybe had a turnover or a travel or not known where to go with the ball. He's done did a nice job in this one of kind of just planting his feet and making the read. So there's progress there, more minutes, more progress, and Ultimately, Jalen Wilson's probably the only guy on this roster you feel confident with being on the team next year, you know, other than Noah Clowney and Dariq Whitehead. But over to Dennis Smith Jr., he played a role, especially defensively in this game and in the passing department. 7 points, 3 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 3 from the free throw line, 6 assists, 1 rebound, 3 steals. He was also great in transition and getting things going in that department, so had his impact off the bench and really, you know, did some nice things for this Nets team. Lonnie Walker, arguably the best net tonight, in my opinion. 19 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, a team high plus 29. I think with Lonnie, it's just like you saw him more active in all elements of the game. You know, in some of these past matchups in these past couple months, especially after he returned from injury, it was a lot of Lonnie Walker in the corner, giving him catch and shoot opportunities or very limited touches. You know, tonight I felt like the ball was in his hands more and he had more opportunities to create for himself and create for others. You know, there's a couple nice actions with him and Claxton that didn't even necessarily with Clax getting the ball, but the synergy those two had, and it kind of allowed Lonnie to get to his spots. And the one play that really stuck out, I think it was a DHO with Clax out of the corner. Lonnie gets to the front of the rim and kind of fades away into a jumper and takes a short range shot. You know, that was more what we saw from him early in the season, not just layups and threes, more of some of that in between game. Doesn't even have to be mid range, but just in that paint area. So love to see that. Love to see more from Lonnie. As I've talked about before, I think you want to find out what you have in Lonnie Walker, because there's a chance he could be a piece for this team moving forward. And again, I mentioned in the ways of, you know, they're going into trying to contend or being a competitive team. You know, he gives you a great bench piece, a real scoring option, and someone who could just come in on a cold night and drop, you know, 25 points. And that's what you need moving forward. And there's still, I think, plenty of room for development of his game. You know, still fouls a lot, defensively can get better and can just kind of get more discipline in different areas. But overall, you know, Lonnie Walker is a long-term bench piece. You know, I think is a smart move, because even if you do go to the tanking route, you have him on a contract that's most likely reasonable that you can move potentially four picks in a future deal. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be first round picks, could be multiple second round picks, but I'd like to see more Lonnie Walker the rest of the season and just really give him opportunities to shine and showcase his skill and ability more than just the catch and shoot three stuff. But Trenton Watford in this game played about 13 minutes, did not have a great game shooting wise, scored 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from three, 5 rebounds, did have 2 blocks. I think he had a really nice block, I want to say it was on Kelly Oubre Jr. in this game. So Watford got a chance. I think with Watford, it's just he's one of these players that has a skill set that's very unique, and I don't think the Nets have fully unlocked it. And I'm not sure Watford fully understands how he can be utilized to the best of his abilities too, because sometimes he's taking shots as he's the lead guy or a star player on a team, where he just needs to understand that he's coming off the bench and playing a different role. And I don't think he's scoring at an efficient enough level to take some of the shots and moves that he's looking to do and understand kind of more how to play within the team element and allow the shots to come to him, other than obviously late in the shot clock. And Keita Beats Diop played about 6 minutes, played small ball 5 in this game, really didn't showcase too much, but overall, you know, didn't have much of a positive or negative impact in this game. And again, Nets found a way to win. Wasn't pretty, wasn't great. A big factor for the win is, you know, shooting 40% from three is huge for them. You know, we talked about it, a lot of variance for them. If they don't get good three-point shooting, they don't necessarily have enough offensive production. Free throw wise, a little bit better than last night. Still not great. 6 missed free throws. And overall, you know, Philly made plenty of mistakes in this game. There wasn't a ton of great basketball played on both sides. It's not like, you know, you're going to write home about any of this or remember highlight plays from this game. It was overall, you know, a pretty below average NBA game, and that's just made enough plays late in the fourth quarter. And that's fine. You know, continue to do that. Continue to find ways to win. Maybe you'll squeeze into the play-in. You know, maybe that's what's going to happen. But after this break, we'll jump into last night's loss against Memphis and some of the Ben Simmons stuff.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, getting into last night's loss against Memphis. As I mentioned, you know, in my opinion, the worst loss of the season, given the context and, you know, who was available for that Memphis team. You know, they're missing all of their good players, and they're playing essentially backups and G League players, and they found a way to win the game. Where the Nets, yes, were without Ben Simmons, out without Cam Thomas, and dealing with some banged up guys, but there was no reason for them to lose that game. It really started early in the first quarter. They allowed Memphis to get comfortable, take a lead, and Memphis never really looked back. You know, credit them for playing hard, but the Nets should have been able to play harder and outperform those guys, and the tenacity and energy was just not there, and that was consistently throughout the board. You know, we're looking at Mikal Bridges underperforming in that game with 14 points, you know, 4 of 14 from the field. You just need more, you know, and Cam Johnson in that game, 6 of 15 from the field, 3 of 10 from 3. Those guys had opportunities to knock down shots. Dennis Schroeder also not good last night as well. It's just all of these guys underperforming against lesser competition because either they're settling or they're just not locked in and not playing with the tenacity and energy. And in my opinion, the loss last night against the Grizzlies essentially kind of ends any real hope of there being a success of the season, just given how bad you have to play to lose to a team like that. Because again, Memphis, you know, they did play hard, they stepped up, they're still missing, you know, starting NBA talent, and ultimately just aren't a good team, and they weren't in a position to win that game because of the roster. It was really because the Nets gave them an opportunity to win. And I think if you want to make the play, you want to be one of these teams, when you get an opportunity like that to grab a W on the calendar, you have to do it. And they didn't do that. And it was, again, just, it wasn't because they had a historically cold night from the field or something like that. It was just because they got outplayed by the Grizzlies, who, again, did not play that well. And that's the type of stuff that just doesn't give you confidence in the overall team goal, cohesion, synergy, momentum, whatever you want to look at it. I think the intangible things with this Nets team is just not there. You know, there's just not this level of connectivity and synergy that you need when you have a roster like the Nets have. You know, they don't have these all-star elite guys that are going to make life easier for everyone. There has to be a level of team basketball. And as we've talked about a lot this season, offensively and defensively, it's just not there. And you're just not going to win games when you don't have stars and you don't play a high level of team basketball. And that's what we saw last night against the Grizzlies. And I think, if anything, in my opinion, that was just another notch in the direction of, when the offseason comes along, you have to look at the opportunity to enter a rebuild and fully enter a rebuild, because there's no one really on this team that is holding you back in terms of, oh man, we can't afford to lose a talent like that. Everybody at some point on this team is a replaceable talent. There's no generational players or someone who's going to be incredibly difficult to acquire in the future. You know, Mikal on his contract maybe, but again, he's the third star in a trio. You know, he's not the one option or the two option, he's the third option. So I think if someone's offering you first or second option assets for Mikal Bridges, you have to look at that opportunity to take it, because where the Nets are at right now, they're not close to contending. So taking two steps back that could make it easier to move forward in the future is the right move, because right now they're just staying where they're at and they're limiting their flexibility because they're just not that good. So that's really my takeaway from the Grizzlies. It was just another kind of notch in terms of this season. It's been a disappointment. It's been a failure. Probably nothing positive really is going to come out of it. And ultimately, that'll be a loss we look back to as, yeah, that was a bad year for this Nets team. But we did also get some notes on the Ben Simmons stuff. There was kind of that back and forth for a day or two where it was like, oh, is it left knee soreness or is it left leg soreness? And then all of a sudden, it's a back impingement. And then we get a report from Brian Lewis saying, this is not a new impingement. This is the same one, the same place as before. There's no new imaging, and he's day-to-day. Then we also had Ben Simmons' agent come out and say, you know, take blame and say, you know, I committed to Ben saying I would do everything I possibly could to get him back on the court and get right. It hasn't worked out that way. And ultimately, I don't have much confidence that Ben is ever going to be able to maintain his health long-term in an NBA season. You know, if the same injury is consistently reoccurring, it's a long-term issue, and having a long-term issue with your back, especially with the style of play and the limited ability Ben has on the basketball court with his shooting and other skills, it doesn't look good for the rest of his NBA career. It would be great for him to get 100% healthy, get back on the court, and be an awesome NBA player. I don't see that happening, and I think the other alarming thing is just that type of injury, you know, anything doing with the disc in your back and your spine. When they slip out, there's a more likelihood they're going to slip out again or be injured again in whatever, you know, scenario they are. And Ben is consistently having this injury happen almost every time he gets back on the basketball court. So there's either something he's doing on the court, something he's doing with his routine, or his body's just giving out. And that really could be the case, because just the more you suffer the same injury, the less likely it is you're fully ever going to be 100% recovered. Obviously, there's new science, there's new technology, and maybe they can push it forward a little bit different, and maybe there's something new that I don't know about, but the fact is that his disc in his back is consistently being an issue does not look good for his long-term NBA career. And even if Ben were to find a way to be healthy, I don't think he'd ever be a guy that could play big NBA minutes. You know, I think you're looking at him as a bench player that can give you some type of specialty. You know, that's really where it is right now. And from the Nets' perspective, you know, you're hoping for an opportunity to maybe dump his contract in the offseason in a deal where maybe you're taking back bad money to get some more future draft picks if you enter that rebuild. If not, there's also a chance where maybe you just tell Ben to, you know, not show up or buy him out next year, because there's just really no purpose with him on this team and their future plans, because he is so hard to accommodate on the court because of his limited assets. When he's not accommodated on the court, he's not an impactful player. And right now, there's no reason to accommodate a player who plays, you know, 10% of the games and is not been 100% probably once in the last two seasons. So really, I think this pretty much ends the chapter of Ben Simmons in the Nets book. You know, this is the end of the era of Ben Simmons, in my opinion. Maybe we'll see him a few more times this year, but I really don't envision him being in any part of their long-term plans. I didn't envision that, you know, going to this year, but this is kind of the final check. This is the end of the book right here. But as always, big thanks everybody for listening, especially if you're still listening to the podcast at this point of the season and the way the Nets have performed. We really appreciate you, and we look forward to hopefully having more positive topics as the season progresses to the end and we get into the offseason stuff. But big thank you.